Welcome back. Another episode of the GPP Season 2, Episode 14 coming at you right here. Another episode going on the books, and it is an absolute classic. But first things first, if you didn't know, by the first 13 episodes, I am your host, as always, of the GPP, the Gifted Performance Podcast, giving you the knowledge and practical takeaways to improve your own general physical preparedness. And that is what you're here to do. I plan on delivering. So we've got ourselves a heck of an episode. I know I said last week, oh, I'm just coming back from Denmark. We had a week off. I got all this extra material that I've been finding. My algorithm is just, it's evolving. I guess it's supposed to do that. It's evolving. It's adapting. It's giving me what I want to see, which in turn is what you want to see. Before we actually get into what we're going to talk about today, it's important to recognize the Walmart clearance drip of the week. I don't know if I've worn this one yet. I don't think I have. It's the King of the Streets Racing Champions Collection. I have absolutely no idea what that means. I've never heard of the brand. It was $2.79. They're probably gone at Walmart. But on your way out of Walmart, like the big Walmart, not the neighborhood Walmart, every time just stop by the clearance t-shirt section. There's always some good ones there. There's a Pikachu one that I've had my eye on, but it's a double XL. And Walmart double XLs are basically like king-size bed sheets. So can't wear that one yet, but I still got my eyes out. I'm hoping for it. Let's get into what we're actually going to talk about today. I, luckily enough, have been revisited by the Polygamous Alcoholics Anonymous Cowboy Challenge. But there's a new face of the challenge, and you're not going to believe who it is and who he's with. Spoiler alert, I don't know who he's with. It's a mystery to me, and I need your help on that one. We're also going to learn the latest and greatest about over-the-counter testosterone-boosting supplements. There's a new ingredient on the scene with no shortage of influencer idiots pushing it to you, calling you stupid, saying you don't watch the GPP, you don't know any better, you'll buy this, but you won't because you're smart. After that, we're going to talk about the ass-backwards nature of recovery. You're not recovering hard enough. You might be training hard enough, but you might not be recovering hard enough. Some of the crazy stuff that people actually do in the name of recovery. Like I mentioned, my algorithm completely cursed because you guys made it that way. I'm really not super mad about it, but there is one person that we're going to talk about today, a sales, fitness, bullying, which I like, shaming, fat shaming guru that has made it onto my explore page. We'll talk about him, all the things that he's got to say. We'll chat about why Legos and Razor scooters are actually the next best thing when it comes to performance enhancing substances. And last but not least, I've got a new favorite coffee shop that I'm going to share with you. So far, it might be a far way away from you, but I promise, if you find yourself in the area, you're going to want to stop by. Now, today's episode is brought to you by the Gifted Mystery Apparel Dropbox, whatever you want to call it, that is officially going live as of airing this episode. If you want yourself one piece of gifted apparel, that's a good idea, $15, 50% off. You want yourself two pieces of gifted apparel, that's $25, which is more than 50% off. It's like 43% of the actual 57, 58% off. It's a heck of a deal. I'm trying to clear out all the old inventory that we have so that we can make way for the new stuff, which we've already started designing. And we'll have a, will we have it up by the airing of this episode? We may have it up by the airing of this episode, our first pre-order from our new collection, and it's a good one. It is a Mike Taylor special. I'm not allowed to say anything about this next one, but we do have a new face, a new thing coming to the Gifted Podcast Network. So if the GPP starts to go off the rails and become a touch unhinged more than usual, that's going to be why. And that's all I'm going to say for now. Because of that, we need you to rate and review the podcast. As always, thumbs up, like, comment again, have a full conversation with yourself down there. Hey, how are you? I'm good. How are you? What have you been up to lately? Fancy this weather we've been having. Just have an absolute rant with yourself down there. Have fun. And that's going to get us out to as many people as possible. Subscribe, of course. Follow us on Instagram, gifted_HQ. Follow gifted_academics, Gifted Barbell Club. Just type gifted underscore. A bunch of accounts are going to come up. You're just going to go boom, 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 boom. Subscribe, follow all of those accounts because that is all the information that you need in your life as a fitness and health enthusiast. If you're watching this and you're not already signed up with a Gifted Coach, go ahead and do so now. Gifted-HQ.com. All of your gifted coaching needs. And if you are a young lady interested in competing for the first time or just having your first couple competitions, maybe you worked with a coach that you didn't really enjoy that much, we do have a new coach on the team, Miss Sam Gusumano, who has just joined us. 10 plus years of experience working one-on-one, face-to-face personal training, which we love to see, now working under the tutelage of Mr. Jeremiah, the Bean Man himself, DeSantis. She has joined the team and she is taking on clients now. So if it's something that you are interested in, please fill out an application. Those applications, those links can always be found in the show notes. All right, let's get into the meat of the show. Let's get into what everyone comes here to actually see. And that is, Jake, throw it on the screen, memes and things. All right, I'm going to pull up my assets here as well, just so we can all be looking at the same thing. All right, so if you're a sports fan, I screenshotted this. You can see in the screenshot that's on the screen. Screenshot on the screen. Yeah, that makes sense, I think. This was the same day of the LSU South Carolina like brawl on the court. I love that. Women's basketball, if it had more brawls, basketball as a whole, I don't even want to gender it here. Basketball as a whole, way better sport, way more fun to watch. If there were more brawls, best era in the NBA, 90s, early 2000s, Ron Artest going into the stands, punch people in the face. Unrelated to the topic here, but basketball, more fights, more fights. It's a good game, but more fights would certainly be better. You tell people, oh, you know, hockey, like the sport of hockey. Yeah, it's kind of boring to watch, but I go for the fights. Basketball is a fun game to watch. And if you put fights in, way better. People would actually come to watch the game. And they would come to watch the fights. NFL, if there were fights, if you ever played NFL Blitz 2001, 2000, it's like the best game ever that came out on the N64. It's better than GoldenEye. If you want to fight me on that, you can. NFL Blitz is better. If we took NFL Blitz and we put it in real life, not the XFL, which is like a fake version of that because they just took a bunch of people who were bad at football and then they told them to fight each other and sort of play football. NFL with fights, NBA with fights, WNBA with fights, way better sport. So that LSU, South Carolina, if you haven't seen that video, just YouTube it. It's a really good clip. Now, what we're actually going to talk about here. So you guys remember the polygamous cowboy and his two wives. They were his age. So they were his two wives. I don't know about one was my probably like his sister and one was, you know, his coworker. No, you weirdo. It's not his sister. They're polygamous, not incestual. But now we've got, I think this is Jason Momoa. I'm like 99% sure this is Jason Momoa. And his two, like when you look at this, I'm not going to say anything. When you look at this picture, who do you think he's with? The girls kind of look like him. They're significantly younger than him. Jason Momoa is 50, by the way. Crazy. They're younger than him. They look like him. Those are probably his daughters, right? That would make sense. You know, it's a guy, no alcohol challenge, doing it for my daughters, doing it for my family. You'd be wrong. You'd be wrong. These are not his daughters. Jason Momoa, and I did the research. So Jason Momoa's wife is Lisa Bonet. Put Lisa Bonet on the screen, Jake. That's not her in the picture. Jason Momoa's daughters. He only has one, and she's like 12. Neither of those girls are 12. So who are these women? I need someone, a viewer, a watcher, a passionate fan. If you're not watching on YouTube, just go over to YouTube so you can see this picture and then you can screenshot it. I need someone to do a reverse photo lookup on this. Who are these two girls? It's not his wife. It's not his daughter. The only thing that I can think of is that he and his wife recently got divorced. Yeah, I did a deep dive. I actually don't really, I am neither here nor there on Jason Momoa. I'm not really the biggest fan, nor am I a hater. But recently got divorced. So the only thing that really makes sense here, these are his double mistresses. And people who are rocking multiple mistresses during and immediately after a marriage or a divorce, I should say, probably aren't doing a lot of no alcohol challenges. So I thought the first one didn't make sense. I thought cowboy, multiple wives, doing a no alcohol challenge sponsored by Mad Muscles. That makes no sense. Recent divorcee, Jason Momoa, and his two questionably, possibly problematically young mistresses here makes even less sense. The next one is going to be like Ronald fucking McDonald and like an AI hippo lady doing like a no meth injection challenge. It's just going to be to the next level. And when that happens, when that appears on my Explore page, on my ESPN ads, whatever it is, I'm going to bring it to you. Not because I want to, but because I have to and because I love you. All right. First schizo piece out of the way. We'll alternate. We'll go schizo, normal, schizo, normal. Cool? That work for you guys? I like it. I think it paces the show very nicely. All right. Up next is our viral testosterone boosting supplement. All right. So the ad that I saw said, you know, I'm actually just going to pull it up again. I don't want to say it wrong. So the ad that I saw was, try and find it. There it is. All right. So it says, I took viral testosterone pills for 30 days. What in the hell is a viral testosterone pill? Does it have a virus in it? Because if it does, that's not good. That is not good at all. So Sherbin shares. I did some research on Sherbin here. Sherbin is an influencer who takes money from companies and then he makes videos of high quality. They are very high quality videos about the product in the 10 to 30 minute range, probably depending on what the company actually wants, where he takes the supplement, shows that it works, audio only, I'm doing a lot of air quotes here, shows that it works, and then pitches the supplement. So the supplement in question here is from Live Momentous. Momentous is the supplement company, and it is plugged, sponsored, and affiliated with Andrew Huberman, so you know it's dog shit. So I looked at their testosterone boosting supplement that he is promoting here. And the main active ingredient is one that got very popular. There's always this delay. It's like the research comes out. The people who actually research jump onto it for like 2 months. And then there's a 2 month period where they're like, all right, this stuff mechanism looks pretty good. How does it actually play out? And then the next 4 months, there's like half of it where it's like the people who are stupid and confused are like, well, you know, it might have worked. I felt a little different. And then the other 2 months is the people who really understand this stuff, really understand the literature, being like, stop, don't take this stuff. It's dumb. It's a waste of your money. Just cut it out. So that's what happens. This is what happened here, like midway through last year. Midway through 2023 is when I started seeing this ingredient come out, and it's called Tongkat Ali. Tongkat Ali. Tongkat Ali was promoted as a testosterone booster. It was taken originally or promoted to reduce SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin, something that binds onto sex hormones in the case of a male testosterone, decreasing the amount of active testosterone that can bind onto an androgen receptor and exert its effect. SHBG goes down, free testosterone available to bind to androgen receptors theoretically goes up. Makes sense? Mechanism that, you know, I think you could explain to most people and they would say, okay, more testosterone binding to androgen receptors, that is a good thing. And that's what this guy shows in this video. His total test goes up a small percentage within normal ranges, which the research shows, you know, exerts no meaningful effect. And his free testosterone actually goes up. Near the end of the video, he actually shows another blood panel where it goes down. And then he's on like a video call with the, and the doctor's like, oh, that doesn't really matter that much. It's like, the supplement is promoted to increase free tests and yours went down. So these things fluctuate naturally throughout the course of a month, year, whatever. For most men, they're never like going to be a static range. You're never going to see like 800 nanograms per deciliter for a man. A week later, it's the same. A week later, it's always going to fluctuate up and down within that range based on a lot of factors. So I think his total testosterone went up by like 100 points or something like that. Again, doesn't matter. It's a normal physiological range. The only thing that really matters is when you push yourself outside, either above or below the normal physiological range, that you start to see differences. And then he goes into kind of like the subjective stuff. When the objective fails, when it's like, uh-oh, the supplement didn't show the benefit that it was supposed to, then the subjective begins. I felt a lot better, mental clarity. I was stronger in the gym. I was recovering faster. I'm sure you were, Sherbin, because that's what they told you to say. So be careful of supplements that look like this. Single ingredient, single mechanism, linked together as the lead marketing push for a supplement. If a supplement is pushing a mechanism rather than an effect in application, red flag should immediately be going up. So creatine monohydrate has mechanism. Creatine monohydrate is ingested, stored in the muscle as phosphocreatine, and it has application. 3% increase in strength over 8 weeks, 5% increase in muscle volume over 12 weeks, whatever it is. I'm just making up numbers here. But there's the mechanism, and then there's the applied research that shows it. For companies like Momentus, whatever it is, and their boy Sherbin here, what they'll do is they'll just say mechanism. And then you say, well, how does it actually work in practice? And then they'll start the subjective stuff. They'll lead with the mechanism, decrease in sex hormone binding globulin, increase in, free testosterone, binding active testosterone, binding to androgen receptors. And I felt a lot better. My energy was better. My recovery was, whoa. How much muscle did you gain? Oh, well, none. How much strength did you gain? Oh, well, none. Then you start to see the truth comes out. So don't get confused by the mechanism. It's very easy to make mechanisms sound good. I remember way back in the day, Universal Nutrition, one of my favorite supplement companies back in the day, talked about how their AAKG supplement, their arginine alpha-ketoglutarate supplement, increased, I forget the numbers at this point, but it was like a couple 100% that it increased growth hormone. And everyone was like, whoa, that's insane. But it's like when you look at a heavy set of squats, you see like 1,000% increase in growth hormone. And unless that increase is sustained, which it's not with the supplement and it's not with the set of squats for days, weeks, months on end, you see no effect of the growth hormone itself. So be careful of supplement companies that just talk about mechanism. Take it a step further. Look at the research. What does it actually show in terms of an effect? And usually it's nothing at all or a very, very small amount that can't be justified for the price tag of the supplement. Moving on, speaking of things that cost a lot of money and do very little for you, the recovery industry as a whole in the last 5 years has gone absolutely insane. So when I talk about recovery, I mean any external modality being used to quote unquote speed up recovery or move along the recovery process. So how adaptation to training works is, I'm going to simplify it for you into three basic steps. Have your training stress. Have your training session. Call that stress. And then we get into, immediately after that, a stage of recovery. The size of the stress load, how much stress you put on your body, is going to dictate how much recovery needs to take place. Once recovery has taken place, once you've returned to a baseline, we get to the point that we actually care about, which is called adaptation. It's where you actually get bigger, stronger, faster, better at training as a whole. So, induce stress, begin the recovery process, start to adapt. A lot of these recovery modalities make people think or put people under the impression that they can impose significantly greater stress, either in a single session or over multiple sessions, condense that recovery window, and then start the adaptation period sooner or have greater amount of resources left over for that adaptation period. What actually happens for a lot of these modalities is that we induce stress. We either blunt the recovery process or shorten it so much that the body's natural mechanisms by which you recover and then initiate the adaptation process are completely stopped whatsoever. So a good example of this would be like a hypertrophy session, bodybuilding session, directly into cold exposure, no adaptation or diminished adaptation after that, because that recovery period is necessary. The inflammatory factors are required, necessary to kick off that adaptation period. Stress has to allow for the recovery period. Don't necessarily want to speed it up or blunt it, and then you get into adaptation. Or what people do is they'll initiate another stressor. They'll do their training session, they'll initiate another stressor, something like very intense deep tissue massage or Graston or active release, or they'll go into a sauna and they'll think that that additional stress is going to amplify the recovery response, speed that up, and again, leave more room for adaptation. And it's incorrect. It's an incorrect premise as a whole, and it falls in line with the traditional biohacker mindset, where I can outsmart my body. I can hack my biology in a way that allows me to recover faster and adapt to a greater magnitude than I would naturally. It just doesn't happen like that, because in both of those scenarios, you initiate the stressor, you either do something during the recovery period that blunts the adaptation that you make, like in the example of cold exposure, or you initiate another stressor, like the micro injuries that you would see with something like Graston or very deep tissue massage. And what happens is you increase the total stress load on the body, which requires a longer or greater protracted out recovery window, leaving less resources for adaptation. So what is my suggestion here to those who are hyperfixating on recovery modalities, spending hundreds of dollars? Use them in the scope of a well-designed program. If you are getting so fucked up from your training that you have to do 30 different things just to make it back to the gym the first day or the next day, go back to step one. Why is your training program so intense? Why are you doing so much? Well, I'm a couple weeks out from competition. Boom. There was the explanation that I needed. Fine. Do your cold plunge, do your infrared sauna, do your active release, do all the massage therapy stuff that gets you to that competition, gets you through the training that you need to do, those volumes of training that you need to do to be ready for competition. We're not so much worried about adaptation. We're worried about perform, recovery, perform again. You're within a competition window. You're at a CrossFit competition. You're at a, you know, jiu-jitsu tournament where you have to compete 3 or 4 times a day. Fine. Cold plunge, active release, dry needling, foam rolling, sauna, anything you need to essentially get your body back to baseline. We're not trying to exceed baseline. Adaptation is where we exceed baseline. In competition, baseline is, or it should be, as high as it possibly can be. All we're trying to do is compete, get super fucked up, use whatever modalities we need to not be as fucked up, and then, you know, recover and get back to competing. That's not the off-season model. The off-season model is always do enough, impose the correct training stress, allow your body to naturally recover without all of these external modalities that either blunt the adaptation or protract out the recovery period, the resources needed to fully recover, and then leave this tiny little bit of resources left for adaptation. No. Bad, wrong, don't do that. Do the right amount of training, allow your body to naturally recover through the use of appropriate supplementation, good nutrition, stress management, and proper sleep habits, and then make your adaptations. That's how we supercompensate. We take our baseline from here too high. Baseline, impose a stress. Performance drops off. I recover back to baseline. I adapt and now I'm higher. Stress, performance drops off, recover to baseline, higher. I'm doing some hand movements for those who are on audio only. You're missing it out. Just imagine my hand going higher with each of those cycles. The body's natural recovery mechanisms are the best ones that you could possibly have. They've been geared over thousands and thousands of years of evolution. If you think that you are smarter than evolution, if you think that you are smarter than the supercomputer that is your body, you are wrong. You cannot biohack it. And most biohacking methods do more harm than good. Best way to recover, go train, do the right amount, sit on your butt, eat good food, and just let your body do its thing. Let Mother Nature take its course. Don't get caught up in all these athletes that are like, oh, you know, I started cold plunging 6 months ago and my performance has gone through the roof. I started doing infrared sauna 2 weeks ago and I already noticed the difference. Wrong. So wrong. All these elite athletes have these massive genetic advantages over the general population, and they spent decades of training without these modalities. And then they start it, and after 3 weeks, because they've got a coupon code for it, it's the best thing that they've ever done. I made a meme about this on my page at some point. It was like one of the first memes that I ever made. It's like the dude looking, he's got his girlfriend, and he's looking back at the other person. And his girlfriend is the stuff you've been doing for decades. And the person that he's looking back at is the thing you started 2 weeks ago. That's pretty funny.
That's good stuff.
Jake, find that meme, put it on the screen. If not, just put a funny picture of a dog. I kind of hope you go with the dog instead. All right. Speaking of things that people tend to get wrong and subscribe to, even though they don't know why, my algorithm has been feeding me this dude like crazy. His name is Andy Elliott. Jake, you can kind of just scroll his page and maybe put together like a top three greatest hits and then just let those play for the people.
Got it. What are you wearing? What the f*** is that, though? That's like jammies. Look at your f***ing shirt, man. Does he look like he's a part of y'all's team? You should have wore your Spartan shirt and set the standard for the company. It's called a standard. There's plenty of amateur companies that'll let them come in wearing that f***ing shit. And by the way, you may think that I'm a dick. Dude, I promise you, if you don't have Ferraris in your driveway, big lifted ass f***ing trucks, a mansion on the f***ing beach, you don't have the f***ing money in your bank, then stop acting like you f***ing do. Once you get rich, you can run around wearing that shit all you want all day long. But until then, we're gonna f***ing be a contender. We're gonna show up. We're not gonna be a f***ing pretender. You're pretty f***ing ugly, right? No, I mean, it's just real. So you get in shape. Hey, I'm not that good looking of a guy. I'm a pretty ugly motherfucker. But you know what? I get in good shape and it makes me better looking. Be a person that demands the f***ing attention when you walk in. When you start to see yourself differently in the mirror, you f***ing want to become better. Come here. I'm gonna grab this guy in the pink hat. Come here real quick. Come here. Let me show you what I'd f***ing do with him. Steve, how old are you?
52.
Steve is 52 years old. I could call him Comeback Steve. If you'll physically get right and you'll take care of your family, you'll make more money than you know what to do with. Steve, take your shirt off. Come on, Steve. Steve, come here. We're gonna make a deal with Steve. Okay, listen. I'm gonna give Steve $10,000, okay? Listen, and that's fuck you money for Steve. Like, but I'm gonna give Steve 10 grand if in 120 days, which will give you 4 months, which he's not that out of shape, okay, he can get a six pack. Okay, now who thinks Steve can do it? All right, you gonna take me up on this?
It's good. It's good.
Okay, good. I love it. Hey, I mean this.
When I look at this individual, I have no doubt that he is a very successful, very wealthy individual who probably gets to speak to a lot of corporations, I had to guess, just based on kind of what I've seen on his profile overall. However, that does not make this the most corny cliche. It doesn't save him from being the corniest man who ever lived on the Cob, the most cliche man alive. Now, I'll step back and I'll say this. I'm a big, big proponent of bullying. I think that bullying, when it's constructive, like kid on the playground is like eating mud. Like eating mud is not a behavior that should be normalized. Eating, you should be like, oh, he eats mud. That's what he does. Like, it's his thing, and we celebrate him for it. Like, no, you don't celebrate eating wet dirt. The other kids on the playground, oh, you know, Matty Mud Eater, like Dirty Dirt Boy. And then eventually you're like, okay, that's not, my peers are making fun of me for this. I should stop. And then you stop eating mud dirt, and it's actually a net positive for you overall. If someone's bullying you because you're like the sport of fencing or something, and like fencing is like your passion, like that's stupid. People shouldn't bully you for what your passions are if they're different. But if your thing is like, oh, I eat bugs, you know, I eat dried up worms, tasty, then you should be bullied for that. So you stop that. This guy, he has an element of bullying, which I do like, but like 2% of what he does is bullying. So I like 2% of what he does. The other 98% is like screaming and fat shaming. So his whole thing and his whole persona is like this hyper-aggressive PED-using fitness person who has made their way into sales. I think most of this is like over-the-phone sales. I'm reading into this as like a lot of these people being like insurance salesmen or like roofing salesmen that are on the phone. They're calling people all day. So his whole thing is like, yo, if you're fat, if you're out of shape, if you don't have a six pack, like you'll never be a good salesman because, you know, people want to buy from people that look good. It's like, on the fucking phone, they can't see you. They don't know what you look like at all. You could be a 400 pound Indian man, or you could be Mr. Olympia, and they wouldn't care. They either want what you got, you're either a good salesman, you're good with words, or they don't. If, and I don't think it is, if his premise is like, oh, you'll be more confident, then I give him a maybe out of 10. But I want to say one other thing on this guy. It is a great hustle, right? This is an awesome hustle. Like, I could see myself, if I had like an attribute scanner, like an attribute setter on my arm, and I could like turn things up and down on my arm. If I just like turned ethics and morals and way down and turned aggression way up, I could definitely see myself doing this. This guy gets paid to show up to businesses, talk to dozens, maybe like 100 people at a time, and essentially bully them. And I'm sure Jake found some of the videos of him calling people out, being like, yo, you fat guy, I would never buy anything from you because you're fat. And then it's like, hard stop. The guy in the crowd is like, what the fuck? Okay. And then he just got called fat in front of all of his colleagues. I can do that. I can do that. Put me in, coach. Put me in. I call people fat all day. You're fat. People want to buy from you because you're fat. You're ugly. You, your wife, disgusting. Ain't no one going to buy something with an ugly wife. I could do that. You can do that all day. Really kind of reminds me of like Jillian Michaels' early Biggest Loser days, where the commercials for Biggest Loser when it first came out were wild, were amazing. I loved them. But it was just like Jillian Michaels screaming at fat people. So you want to be fat forever? You want your family to think that you're a fat ass forever? You want your doctor shaming you for the rest of your life? That's the good stuff. Those are the good days. Now it's people like, now Biggest Loser is like, let's sit down and let's talk about your feelings, which is a more effective way for people to lose weight and keep it off. But from a viewership standpoint, I'm not surprised that Biggest Loser has tanked in terms of their viewership, because what did people want to see? They wanted to see Jillian Michaels calling people fat, yelling at them for being fat. Same thing with our boy Andy Elliott here. The reason that he's doing millions of views on Instagram is because people like that. Other people called fat. It's the stuff that other people want to say, right? And for a while, people always talked about, you know, the cure for obesity. This is an interesting one, but I have heard people say this quite a bit. The cure for obesity isn't education. It's not access to better food. You know, it's being able to heckle fat people. It's like, smoking took a big drop off because there became like smoking in non-smoking areas. Smoking became this pariah of like, if you see someone smoking, you should say something to them, publicly berate them if they're doing it. It was, oh, what if the same was true for fat people? Less people would be fat. I don't know. Maybe. I would be interested to see where you guys sit on that. If it was publicly acceptable to shame overweight people, do you think there would be less overweight people in general, or do you think overweight people would shelter themselves more? Because despite the fact that smoking has gone down overall, I don't think that it was like, oh, people started bullying or heckling people who are smoking, so they stopped. think it was more like the people who were committed to smoking started doing it away from everyone else because they were going to do it anyway. And I could see the same thing happening for, you know, overweight and obesity, where you start shaming people publicly for being overweight or obese. They probably just stay inside more and move around less. And the problem actually might get worse. So I feel like I've made a case on both sides there. Interested to see where everyone else lands. Andy Elliott, interesting character. I think I'm going to tell Instagram to start hiding his stuff because now it's like 30% of my Explore page is just him yelling. And if you've seen one or two videos, you've seen them all. Up next is a new style of content that I really do enjoy, something that I want to see more of on my Explore page, which is the merger of Jackass style content. So like people injuring themselves for other people's viewing pleasure mixed with fitness. So Jake, I linked the page here. This is an individual who is an advocate for pain not only equaling pleasure, but pleasure increasing performance in the gym. Jake, show the Razor scooter video and then show a couple of the Lego videos.
Forgive me for my shins. These are my top five workouts to confess my shins. These are the seven cardinal shins.
So, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen videos like this before where people are, you know, squatting and they're getting hit in the shins with all sorts of stuff, or they're squatting on Legos. My thing is, like, I wonder if there's ever been any research, because I didn't Google it. What if there's any research of, like, intraset pain introduction, hurting someone in the middle of a physical output and seeing how that affects their performance. So like sometimes you'll see this in the UFC where like someone will get punched in the face or like kicked in the leg and it hurts a lot. And it like invokes like a physical response. There's a really good clip of you guys know I'm a big slap fighting fan, power slap fan. There's a lot of good clips of like power slap where someone gets slapped in the face and then like it doesn't phase, like it kind of phases them, but it really just kind of pisses them off and they just KO the person. I wonder if there's something in exercise that's like, if I kick you in the shins before you squat 400 pounds, usually you can squat it twice, but because I kicked you in the shins and that like moved the pain away from like struggling with the weight and then like induced this like anger and adrenaline response, if you actually get stronger because of that. I know there's some research about like force production with, you know, like yelling, screaming, because there was a dude, what was that show on ESPN? It was like Sports Science, I think it was what it's called. Damn, that was forever ago, that show. But they looked at like screaming for like karate, people who like punch through boards and shit, and it actually increased their force production. So I wonder if like taking a Razor scooter to the shins does something similar, where it in like that pain response increases adrenaline, you know, epinephrine increase in, you know, vasodilation and neural drive and force production and all that good stuff. Would be interesting to see a study in that. Not sure how you word that to an IRB to get approval, but you know, science is science. We need answers to questions like this. Squatting on Legos, getting kicked in the shins, is it good for your performance? Last but not least is, I mentioned it, you know, a lot of you are going to like Starbucks. You're even going to Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe you've got a local, brand that you really support. Coffee's too expensive, man. Coffee is too expensive. It's like $6, $7 for these fancy drinks. It's basically just a milkshake. spending $7 for a caffeinated milkshake. Just drink some black coffee, right? Drink some black coffee, like yours truly. Got the mud in there. Drinking it out of a decorative mug. I think it's like a fall mug. It says, let's stay home. It's a weird, like, fall mug. Like, let's stay home. Is it fall supposed to be, like, go outside, the leaves are changing, there's snow to play in? Isn't that supposed to be, like, the gist of fall? I don't know. But drink your black coffee. Stop spending $7. Like, everything's expensive as shit right now. Save your money on coffee. Go to a place like this. My new favorite coffee shop. I found it. It's in Thailand. It's called Come. Come. Go get yourself a nice, piping hot mug of Come coffee. Now, I did write some one-liners for this bit, so here we go. I heard their coffees are hard to finish. The interior design is top of the line. Tables are classy, the chairs are comfortable, and along the walls, the edging is fantastic. If you're in Bangkok, you'll definitely want to try Come. Prepare to order drinks you might not be familiar with. I've heard the Fappuccino is to die for.
Okay. That's all I got. Just kidding. What's in the salted cold foam? Okay.
Now that's all I've got. So if you travel to Thailand and you get some Come coffee and you send me a picture of you drinking the Come, I'll give you a free gifted t-shirt. I'll give you more than a t-shirt. I'll go to our apparel closet, to our hangers, to our boxes. I'll give you every piece of apparel in your size if you show me a picture of you drinking Come coffee. The second part there is important. It has to be Come coffee. It can't just be the first part. Don't send me videos like that. I don't want that. Don't want any of that. And that concludes our memes and things section into Instagram grower, YouTube shower. Our post this week comes from, who's it from? Oh, it's from Carrie. Haroldine the third. So Carrie put together what I believe is a very, very solid post here on something that I think more people worry about than they should, which is overnight scale fluctuations. So the premise of this is most people stick to their diet. They work hard throughout the week. They get their steps in. They do their cardio. They handle all their business just to step on the scale for check-in day and see that it has bounced up a pound or a two. For some of us, like, oh, a pound, big deal. But if you're like a girl and you're on the small, or a guy as well, and you're on the smaller side, let's say you weigh like 110, 115 pounds, and you're in a fat loss phase, you're not trying to lose a lot of fat. Maybe you're just trying to lose 5 pounds, and you see the scale jump 2 pounds when your goal is to lose 5 pounds. Now your goal has gone from 5 pounds to 7 pounds that you need to lose. It can really be super stressful. So Carrie has outlined some factors here that make the body retain water. First being an intense workout the day before. So the inflammatory response from a really high volume, high intensity exercise session can make you hold water weight to the tune of 1 up to, and this is kind of crazy, up to 5% of your total body weight. So if you are this 110 pound female or male, not a lot of males weight, 110 pounds, so we're just going to say female. If you're a 110 pound female and you have a really hard workout and your weight spikes in the middle of that range, 3%, you're looking at a 3.3% or a 3.3 pound increase. That's a lot. That can throw off your mental state. So when you step on that scale and it bounces up, say, what did I do in the gym yesterday? Oh, I destroyed my legs with a final overloading week before we intro week or before we deload. That's going to be why. The second can be too much sodium and not enough water. So the body has intricate fluid regulation mechanisms and electrolyte regulation mechanisms, and salt essentially follows wherever water is. So when water intake is very high to the body flushes out the excess. When water intake is very low, it holds on to it. So if your body is holding on to a lot of water because you're not drinking enough throughout the day and you're having a high sodium day as well, you're going to notice significantly greater water retention than normal, which is very easily going to spike your body weight 1 to 2 pounds. Bad night of sleep and stress, we're going to put those together. Bad night of sleep, you know, initiates a stress response the same, or doesn't alleviate stress the same way. It's probably a better way to put it. And a really stressful day, you know, dog ran away, lost your job, boyfriend broke up with you, all of that stuff. That high amount of stress will also induce a cortisol response, cortisol increasing water retention, thus, again, a spike in the scale. And last but not least, you're a female. It's that time of month. Most women during their menstrual cycle, 1 to 3, up to 1 to 5% of their body weight that they are going to gain during their cycle due to additional water retention. And then that's going to drop off as well. She's got some really good actionable takeaways here as well for you guys. What do? You see that scale spike? What do? You fucking panic. You text your coach and you say, hey, asshole, my weight's going up. I told you I wanted it to go down. What the hell is wrong with you? I want a refund. If you ever do that, not only are you not getting a refund, remember, we have your card info. I'm going to charge you double for the convenience, for the inconvenience, I should say. All right, here's what you actually do. Keep being consistent. If you've been consistent with the plan, now, if you are fucking around and you're eating some stuff you shouldn't be, and you're not drinking the water the way you should be, you should fix that. Don't text your coach and be like, hey, I'm doing everything all right and my weight's going up, because you're a liar. Don't be a liar. That's step number one. Best way to get water retention off is don't be lying. But be consistent with what you've been doing. Same foods. Get your water intake on point. Don't change your training. Don't do any extra cardio. Don't do any goofy shit. Just keep going with what you've been doing. Drink a little more water than you usually do. Have an extra 20 to 30 ounces. Good to go. Get a good night's rest. And then look into stress management techniques. All the coaches at Gifted are incredibly well-versed in all of these things. The best thing that you can do if you're currently working with a Gifted coach and you're listening to this and your weight spikes is to reach out to your coach. Hey, coach, my weight went up 2 pounds overnight. Any idea why that might be the case? And then your coach will text you, well, did any of these things change? Sleep, stress, sodium, water, food, hard training, yada, 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 yada. And you're going to say, that one, and that one. And then your coach is going to say, well, that's why your weight has increased the way it has. We're going to adjust this, that, and the other. You're going to say, thanks, coach. You're the best. You deserve to be paid more than you currently are. You make my life way easier than it was when I was working with that other dingbat coach that I used to have. That's probably exactly what you're going to say. Then the next day, your weight's going to come down. It's going to equalize. This is why it's incredibly important to not just look at daily weight changes. Your weight is always going to do on a day-to-day basis. Your weight's going to do this. Bing, bing, bong, bing, 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 bong. Again, if you're on audio only, this ain't your episode. This definitely ain't your episode. Daily weight, bing, bong, bing, bong. Weekly, when you take weekly averages and your goal is fat loss, it looks like this. It looks down. So if you pay attention to the little wiggles day to day, you're going to drive yourself absolutely insane. Fat loss is a lot like investing, as long as you're not a day trader. When you invest, what you do, like a mutual fund, is you just put your money in, you just leave it there. You're not taking it in or putting it in, taking it out. Giggity. You're not pulling it out, putting it back in every time it the market fluctuates up and down. You're just going to set it and forget it. Same thing with a deficit. Same thing with a fat loss phase. Set it, forget it. Don't worry about the day-to-day fluctuations. Carrie, thank you for outlining that for us. Now, our mid-roll gifted ad, and what keeps this podcast going? The only thing that keeps this podcast dropping every Friday for you is the Gifted Express. If you're a nutrition-only client at Gifted and you are not currently signed up for the Gifted Express at $1 a day, actually, we got a sale going right now. For the month of March, it's less than $1 a day because it's $30 a month and there's 31 days in March. So that means it's actually less than $1 a day for this month and this month only. Make sure you go get your booty signed up, especially if you're a nutrition-only client. If you're a nutrition-only client, why are you trying to figure out your training on your own? You could follow a training program written by a Gifted coach. All of that integrated into the app, the Gifted Coaching app that you're probably already using. Easy as that. So go get signed up. Your first week is always free. Go give it a shot when you love it, and you will. Please reach out and say the Gifted Express saved my life, because it probably did. Now, with that said, you might say, well, how well do those training programs actually work? You know, how good can I expect my results to be if I'm following nutrition coaching from so-and-so, from Steven, from Carrie, from Jeremy? But this training, what can I expect from it? Jake, show them the Transformation Challenge All-Stars, all the clients. Just run through them. Boom, 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 boom. Just flash them all. Let everyone see how good the results are. All of these people, they got nutrition from a gifted coach, gifted nutrition coach, and access to the Gifted Express. So how well does it work? Extremely well. Get your butt signed up today. No excuses. Bingo. Counterpoint. Bongo. Easy as that. All right, Jake, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap this show up. Let's bring it to a close with my favorite section, my personal favorite section. You might think that I like memes and things the most, but memes and things is for you. Not for me. Not for me. The next section is for me, and that's where I yell at people on Reddit. So today's Reddit nutrition question, I got to pull it up. 4783, Jake. 4783. There's no 4769 in here, or I would have chosen that one. All right, this question comes from Biggie. Quadruple eight. So Biggie 8888. Biggie says, I am doing, first he says, hey, hello. I am doing a 4-day upper lower routine, and I would like to add some cardio to loose fat. It's not loose. You could have loose skin from losing fat, but it is lose fat. L-O-S-E. Guys, it's 2024. The internet has existed for a very long amount of time now. It's important that you spell check and grammar check what you write on the internet. Because for people who, you know, have some form of high functioning on the spectrum thing like I got going on, this really upsets me. Just, what are you doing? Lose, L-O-S-E. Type it out, read it back, and then you say, is it loose or is it lose? I don't even know. Let me Google it real quick so I don't look like a complete moron. This is even worse on Instagram. Now more than ever, it's very popular. Black screen, put the text on it, and that's your post. People are still not fucking grammar checking, spell checking their text posts. And then I see it and I'm like, oh, look, an idiot, scroll, or oh, look, an idiot, unfollow. Can't do it. I can't do grammar. When I post something and I come back to it and there's like a grammar error or a spelling error or I omitted a word, I'm so ashamed. I'm like, I can't even look at Jimmy. I can't even look at my wife. I can't even look at my son, because it's like they know. They know the mistake that I made. Biggie, I'm going to let this one go. But it's lose fat, man. Or lady, lose it, not loose. Doing a 4-day upper lower, would like to lose fat. The punctuation and the grammar are getting worse. It's just getting worse and worse. Whew, just got to deep breathe my way through this one. Should do 30 minutes daily, or should I do less in order to avoid overtraining? Edit. Also, should I do HIIT or LISS? All right. I had to get some coffee after that one. That was a tough one to make it through, but we did it, and now I don't have to read it again. And now I can get into my notes. All right, my first note was what I already ranted about. First and foremost, lose fat, not loose. You can have loose skin from losing fat, but fat itself is not loose. You can't really have a loose tissue within the body. Fat is dense. If you pulled it out, it's wiggly, but it's not. It would be strange to call fat loose. It's the skin that you're seeing that's loose. And you can see this in individuals who, you know, lose hundreds of pounds. All right. The real points here. So training and cardio for fat loss, separate entities. People need to just, there's an impermeable barrier between the two. What I do for training, what I do for cardio, impermeable barrier. and then a line and rules for gaining muscle, rules for losing fat. Okay? We're not talking about gaining muscle here. We're talking about losing fat. So training, when your goal is losing body fat, is no different than when you're gaining muscle or when you're in a caloric surplus. Whatever you did in training to build the muscle is the best way to provide the stimulus necessary to retain that muscle over a fat loss phase. So we're not even going to talk about training. Training, bye. Upper-lower split, fine. Love it. 4 days a week, that's how I would do it. Upper-lower, upper-lower. If you were, you know, a lady and you're like, I want the enormous booty and I want to work my abs more often, we might go upper-lower, full glutes, abs, maybe. Specialization cycle there. But probably not necessary based on this individual's goals outlined in the post. So training is there to maintain strength and retain muscle mass. Cardio is there in this context to expend additional energy, to burn extra calories. That is the purpose of it in the context of this, to burn extra calories. We're not talking about cardiovascular conditioning. We're not talking about getting ready to run a 5K, 10K, compete in a rowing competition, do a triathlon, anything like that. In this context, cardio is purely in the pursuit of accelerating fat loss, bolstering a larger deficit, or bolstering the deficit and making it larger. Some of the deficit coming from food, any additional calories in that deficit coming from cardio programming. Sweet. Point number two, going from zero cardio, so not doing any, up to 30 minutes daily is a lot. That is a change from zero up to 210 minutes of cardio per week. You really don't have to do this large increase. I'm going to go from 0 days of training, lifting weights per week to 2 a days, 7 days a week. It's too much. It's unnecessary. Are we looking at a situation where overtraining is at risk? No, probably not. You're lifting 4 days a week. You're probably in the beginner to intermediate phase of your lifting. I wouldn't worry about overtraining, especially at 4 days per week. It's just not a lot of training. Even if you were to do 30 minutes of cardio 7 days a week, I still wouldn't worry about overtraining. Now, the reason why I say don't jump from zero to 210 minutes of cardio is because if we take a moderate, a conservative calorie burn per minute, we say, all right, 10 calories per minute, 210 minutes, 10 calories per minute, 2,100 additional calories. If your deficit from food is already, you know, close to 3,000, 3,500, you're trying to lose a pound per week, you really don't need to increase that by 60% right from the get-go. So I would recommend adding to your deficit 10 to 20-ish percent. So if your deficit from food is 3,500 and you wanted to increase from cardio, 20% on the high end, so 700 calories of cardio per week, or 10 minutes 7 days a week. So roughly a third of what this individual has outlined, and then increase it from there. Now, overtraining, like we said, isn't going to be an issue. However, you may see a drop off in strength performance by overdoing cardio, especially if it's high intensity. So if we're burning 12, 15, 20 calories per minute, we're really getting the heart rate up high, and we're doing a lot of high impact cardio like running, we can start to see that eat into your recovery capacity and take away from your training quality. Again, this is highly unlikely for this individual's scenario, but it's something to explore if you are someone who trains more often than this. If you're training 5 to 6 times a week, you're a little bit more advanced, your strength numbers are higher, that's more of a priority to you to maintain things like that over the course of a fat loss phase. You want to be even more conservative with the cardio, especially the intensity of that cardio. So keeping it low to moderate will preserve what's most important for you, which is going to be that resistance training. We're really splitting hairs here, but it'll preserve a little bit more of that resistance training quality. So my suggestion overall, if you find yourself in a similar situation to our boy Doggy 8888, I think it was 4-8s. Yeah, there was 4-8s in there. If you find yourself in a similar situation, start low with cardio, build it up slow. Who sings that song? Dip it low, take it up, bring it up slow. Who sings that? Don't play it, Jake. Do not play it and get us copyrighted at 58 minutes into the episode. Don't do it. But who sings that? Maybe just put the name of it. below, pick it up, stop. I think it's like Christina Milian. Christina Milian. I'm really proud of myself on that one. But start low, build up the cardio slow. Look at your body weight loss. Look at your weight loss. If you're losing 1% of your body weight per week and you're doing zero cardio, you should keep doing zero. You should keep doing it. Don't be like, oh, well, you know, I think I can get up 2%. Don't do it. Just be happy with 1% per week. Do that for 10 weeks. You're at 10% total body weight loss over the course of 2.5 months. You're in a great spot. You lost a lot of body fat. Chances are your training was preserved or even got better over that time. You're most likely going to be very happy with the way you look at the end of that. Focus on recovery. Focus on progression and training. Keep getting stronger. Maintain the training volume that you're at. That way you're preserving all of that lean body mass that you hopefully spent a good amount of time in a surplus building up. Once you're done with your deficit, once you've lost your 10% body weight, adjust for maintenance, bring yourself close to that number again, maybe a little bit below to prevent rapid or any, you know, big spikes in weight. And if all of that is so boring and so dumb to you and you just can't be bothered to deal with numbers like that, you can hire a gifted coach instead. And the link for that is going to be in the show notes. Fill out an application, needs analysis consult. If you have a question like this, our coaches are always happy to help, happy to answer your questions and point you in the right direction. I hope that this episode did that overall. I hope that this episode pointed you in the right direction towards your fitness, your health, and your performance goals. I hope it elevated your GPP, your general physical preparedness, but also your Gifted Performance podcast review, 5-star on Apple. What are the other ones? Does it feel like there should be like an Amazon podcasting at this point? Maybe they're like, can't be bothered. Bezos says, I'm not a podcast guy. But that brings us to the end of episode 14. 14? Yes. Episode 14. Hope you enjoyed it. Guys, the memes and things section just keeps growing. I know how much you enjoy that, but we're still tinkle, tinkle, sprinkling some value into there. And we hope that you get the most out of that. As always, we do take submissions for the memes and things. You can send those to me directly on Instagram. That's @_squatfather. Send me all your good, silly fitness stuff. If I don't respond or if I don't look at it, don't worry. I still love you. I still think you're great. And you might see it appear on a podcast episode. If it does, and I forget to shout you out, call me out. Yell at me. Because I owe you a shout out. But thanks as always for watching the GPP. All my loyalists, we'll see you in the next episode. In the meantime, in between times, and always do me the favor of staying gifted. See ya. And we love you.